So welcome back, everyone. We think this breakout session exercise worked really well. The quality of the results coming from these groups was very good, and I'm sure that Jonathan took it to the next level with the rapporteurs of these groups. So we're eager to hear from them, but we're not going to do that now. What we're going to do, let me just share with you how we intend to go about with the afternoon, and hopefully you're okay with this. Actually, what you see on the screens there, which we've designed like 5 minutes back, is already outdated because our friend Steve Crocker has just offered to maybe speak for 2 minutes about some board views on this, and that could maybe inform the discussions that we're going to have in the afternoon. So I think we all gladly accept that offer. So that's going to be short, just like a 2 or 3 minute intervention. After that, we're going to have the second breakout session. And let's not be confused, this time span of 3 hours, that includes the whole exercise. And again, Cheryl will guide us all through this. So we're going to have various groups here on site. We're going to have a group with remote participants. We will have a Q&A or a presentation session with the plenary afterwards. And now you might ask yourself, what exactly is going to be discussed during that breakout session? And that is what's coming after the community has made a decision. And that is, how do we think differences between the board and the community's wishes can be reconciled? That's been called dispute resolution on the sheet that's been presented by Chris and Greg. Others would say that this is the area where the model would come into play, but we're not going to discuss models. We're not going to use the forbidden names today. But this is where we should think about what we need or what we would like to see as a community, as a mechanism, as a process to reconcile differences where the board is being told by the community, "You can't do that." And certainly, there are different options that we could take into account. That's mediation, that's arbitration, that's litigation, or a variation thereof. Try to think out of the box. You've heard all the concerns by the various stakeholders. You've read the concerns from community members, and let's try to work something out that will get most traction and removes most concerns. So I think we should leave it quite open, in order not to prevent anyone from having innovative ideas. So that's the place where that's going to happen. Afterwards, we're going to discuss stress test for half an hour, and Cheryl has been looking for that, forward to that very much. So that's going to be her half hour. Then we've reserved 1 hour for taking stock. So we will discuss then what we've discussed yesterday on the community powers. We will try to get clear instructions from the breakout sessions for the next weeks, for the drafting teams to operationalize the ideas that we have gathered here. And after that, we're going to discuss timing a little bit. Maybe we can discuss a statement so that our group can say to the outside world what happened in Los Angeles, and let's not allow only for others to share their own impressions about what happened here with the rest of the world. Then we have a few minutes for AOB, and after that, we can go into the evening sessions, where I'm sure Jonathan Zook will be moderating another another session on how to get things progressed faster. So that's it from us. I think with that, I'd like to hand over to Cheryl to guide us through the breakout session again.
Pardon me. Thank you, Thomas. Cheryl.
Sorry, I wasn't on the Adobe. We have hands raised. Shireen?
I'm not seeing any hands raised. Should I go?
Steve, I said you would be speaking. I'm so sorry.
Thank you very much. We can't emphasize strongly enough how thankful we are, how appreciative we are that everybody has come together. This is a hastily scheduled meeting. It displaced a lot of schedules and everything, and we know that a lot of there's a lot of energy that's gone into this. And I want to speak about the board's position and attitude about all this. The transition is very important. Very important is not the same as it dominates every possible alternative. Our primary commitment, our overriding commitment, is to the inclusive multi-stakeholder model. Cannot support compromises that undermine that multi-stakeholder model. This has been built up in a by accretion, in a way, over 17 years with changes and additions and modifications over time. Each of us serves on the board for three-year terms, and even if we extend it out, as I have for a long time, eventually it comes to an end. None of us are here permanently. There's no sense in which the board has a role distinct from the community. We come from the community, we return to the community, and we leave behind what we hope is a stronger and more vibrant operation. But I want to emphasize that as strongly as we are supportive and believe that the transition away from the contractual arrangement with the U.S. government is in the best interests of the entire world, the entire community, not just the corporate structure of ICANN, it is something that has persisted for a long time. We wrestle with it. We chafe under it a bit, but it has not been disastrous, and so that sets a kind of threshold for what our ultimate decision process is going to be. We think that we are so close to wrestling to the ground to getting agreements on the big things that have been important here, on accountability, on transparency, on enforceability, on community powers, on, you know, and even the ability to remove individual board members. You may think that that's a threat. Sometimes we think that would be a relief as a an escape. So the another key thing that is very vibrant and visible to us is the underlying assumption, the predicate for the announcement made a year and a half ago, was that the U.S. government was saying ICANN is ready for being cast loose. It did not say, well, we're tired of running it and we got to find somebody else to substitute for ourselves. They did say, of course, that they wanted the global environment, the multi-stakeholder model, to be comfortable, everybody to be comfortable with what we're with the system, and they opened up the dialogue, which has led to where we are today. But they did not, and I shouldn't speak about what they said, but we certainly did not understand and don't believe that creating a superstructure to replace them in a corporate sense was intended, desired, needed, or appropriate. So we're feeling our way very, very gingerly through this process. The board believes very deeply and tries to act appropriately that we represent and carry out the sense of the community. We're not in a bastion position of just defending ourselves against the community, because in the end we are trying to be representatives and caretakers on behalf of the community. So, but at the end of the day, we have a very strong responsibility, and that responsibility is carefully separated from each of the stakeholders and constituencies. We take conflicts of interest very seriously in the several instances where a particular board member has a business relationship, or doesn't happen, but a personal relationship, it has to be disclosed, and they get removed from the decision process and so forth. We don't have the same framework of protection and development of discipline if conflicts of interest, for example, and the rest of the community, and that's fine. That's perfectly fine. But it is something that that we take seriously. So the comment that we submitted some time ago, we did represent a board position. We did a quick check this morning and 100% agreement that what we said then still stands. We really, really do believe that this is so close that, that it's there. And as I said, we are very strongly supportive of the principles and the objectives, and we're down to what is sometimes said with a little bit of irony. These are just implementation details, but the implementation details are, in fact, quite important. So, I was reflecting that I sat in meetings, it's embarrassing to say this, almost 50 years ago with bringing people together to build the original protocols on the ARPANET, and I was terribly chagrined. Fairly early on in the process, we had first time we had people flying across country, all the way across the U.S. to come to a meeting, and the meeting fell apart by noontime because the solution that I had been pushing was rejected by the very people I thought that I was drawing it from. I was taking models about the way the advanced systems at MIT worked, and the MIT people came and said, "We can't do this." And the whole meeting was in shambles, and I was a lot younger then, and it rattled me. Somebody took me aside and said, "You'll get through this." And sure enough, protocols got built, and they got rebuilt, and the ARPANET got built, and lots of things have happened since then. We can make this work, and we can make this work well enough. I was very, very pleased to see the different scenarios that were being discussed before lunch. To my eye, they were more similar than different. They differed in some details. And one of the test questions I asked, so what would have been done differently? And there were answers. It wasn't zero. And I think that's fine. I think the there were some things that one could argue it would have been better if it done differently, and that's fine. But I think we want to do it in a measured and incremental way, and with the complete understanding that this is an ongoing process. We've had the ATRT reviews, we've had the structural reviews, we have all of the advice that comes in from the advisory committees, and we have the policies that come up from the SOs. This is an ongoing process that will go on tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and that it is not essential that we grab hold of every sort of thing and make it all happen now. So I wanted to convey that. I wanted to convey that the board is deeply invested in trying to be helpful if we can, staying out of the way if that's the best thing to do. But we're not, to borrow a phrase from some years ago, we're not potted plants. We're not just sitting here passively. We're very heavily engaged. And we have quite heavy responsibilities, and those will get expressed as they are, as I'm trying to do now, and they have been in the past, and they will continue as we go. We are hoping very strongly that we are not put into a position of having to make really tough decisions or get into a it's this or that sort of thing. But if necessary, all of us are seasoned adults, and we take our responsibilities quite heavily. We don't have consequences except to our own personal reputations or conscience, perhaps, that we have to deal with, perhaps. So we will do what is necessary when it's necessary. I don't want to convey that as a threat, more as a plea. Sort of, please don't throw us into that briar patch, if you will. So that's what I want to say. But there is a piece of work that I know some have seen, that is an assessment of where there's strong agreement, where there's not. I know you guys have seen this. It would be my preference to be able to flash this up on the screen if it's permissible.
I guess this is the area where we want to take stock. This is not for now. Sorry, we're not yet there.
And I appreciate that. So let me return control to you, and you say when and how, or if, you know, whether. But I've said the main thing that I wanted to say, and then if whatever else.
Yeah. So I suggest that we get back to the agenda and revisit the areas of agreement. Once we get to that point, we hope that between this moment and later, we're going to have some more points that we can put from the right-hand side of the table to the left-hand side as having agreement. But I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was come to a plateau point. My next, if I were to continue, it would be to speak to the chart that's up there, take it down so that we don't have to get distracted by that, and return to the regularly scheduled program here.
Thanks very much, Steve. We will get back to a point later in the agenda at 16:45, where we're going to take stock. But before that, we have some work in front of us. And Cheryl knows how to bring groups together, walk them to in the room, outside the room. So, Cheryl, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Cheryl, for the record, and I feel a little like a bus conductor by that description. But anyway, what we need to do is gather back to where we were before lunch and look at the very busy work that I saw was going on over the working lunch with the leads from the group that we had this morning. And I don't see Jonathan. Is he?
He's at
perfect timing. Right, okay. In which case, who was in that lunch group? Greg, step on up and bring us through the consensus exercises, questions and answers, and what did you people do over lunch? Thank you.
Okay, thanks everyone. Thanks everyone who participated in this breakout session. I think it was productive. One of the things that was interesting is that everybody took their remit a little bit differently and started at different places along the process. So while there's some distinctions between the proposals, what we found in discussing them is that they were sometimes just omissions by the various groups as opposed to disagreements. So what we tried to do was lay out a kind of a phased approach to what this would look like, and then we'll try to isolate here in pink where the distinctions were between the different breakout groups and then make that the product potentially of discussion for the wider group to resolve those differences. So at the top of this, one group in particular started earlier, if you will, with the board announcing a plan to consider the change to the bylaws, followed by a public comment. And that's because right now the bylaws don't require a public comment. The suggestion would be that they now would, right? So there wasn't a lot of disagreement about that, but only one group proposed it. So that's why it's sort of everybody sort of just lived with that. So that was, unless there's any objection to that, that was sort of a discussion of how the process might be changed or at least formalized on the front end. And then with a standard bylaw, that's a two-thirds board vote to pass that bylaw. And then if there's opposition, there'd be a petition to oppose. And so this is the first area in which there was some distinction between the breakout groups. So in one case, in the group that I was in with for which Mike Silber was the rapporteur, anyone or any group could initiate this petition to oppose. All right. In the others, it was some form of an SO or an AC that needed to initiate this petition to oppose. So that's the first question, if you will, for the group. If we're trying to sort of get this down to a proposal, that's the first area in which there was some difference. Can an individual carry this process, or does it need to be an SO or AC that carries this process? Yes. Oh, yes, that's exactly right. I've got it.
Sorry, Jonathan, could you please repeat through the microphone because not everybody could understand?
I'm going to. Between these two.
Between the first and the third,
right.
30 days.
So, yeah, Steve's group also recommended that this be a minimum of 30 days during which there'd be a public comment, right?
We didn't require public comment. We required a 30-day advance notice before the board votes.
Okay. So maybe there isn't a requirement for a public comment then. Just a 30-day, I don't know if it's in addition to or instead of, but the notion that there's a time frame here as well, that there needs to be at least 30 days between the board's announcement to consider a change to the bylaws and the vote to do so is a minimum of 30 days. Okay? So then the petition to oppose can be an individual or an SO or AC. Under one plan, there would be under the plan for which Mike was a rapporteur, that person or SRAC would act as a kind of a whip, which is to go around and try and gain consensus, right? And if they did, and consensus was defined, and we'll get to the different thresholds, if they achieved consensus, that would cause an immediate suspension of that board vote. Okay? So that's sort of the quickest proposal through this process, is that if this individual or SOAC is able to whip up sufficient consensus to present the board with their threshold, that would be it. The vote would be suspended. That make sense? So that's one proposal. The others had some more process in between that in most cases began with a kind of briefing call by whoever the petitioner was, the SOAC or the individual, and there was some sort of briefing call to make a decision about whether there was sufficient interest to proceed with a process to mount an objection. So then every SOAC needs to be a part or needs to be invited to this call, and then in the context of the proposal from the Adobe Connect, which was Steve's proposal, there's a threshold through which they even proceed to the process of deciding whether or not there's consensus. So that minimum threshold was 2, right? It was a threshold that 2 SOs or ACs would need to agree that we should go through the work of having this discussion in the first place. Then, if there was, there would be a call for a community forum that would be open to all, followed by a consensus call, and to decide whether or not there was a consensus in among the community to proceed. And then that consensus is defined differently by each group, and we didn't detail that here. But the different consensi were
Presence of support and the absence of a strong objection.
Presence of support or absence of a strong objection. Greg?
We had 4 out of 7 SOACs.
All right. Mike? What was your threshold for consensus?
We'd originally suggested no strong objection or no more than one objection.
But no more than one objection was the proposal.
But I think that there might be a concession which says if we can't get that, then maybe we do have to default to some sort of vote, much as it pains me.
But we defined threshold. We defined a threshold.
We'd prefer not to have a vote, but it may be necessary. It seems some people, yeah, I like it, Avery, but we may have to concede to these people.
But we're not having that conversation yet. We're just clarifying the models. And then Sebastian's group didn't define it. So those were the sort of the three. Okay? So those were the thresholds. So if you recall, in Mike's proposal, that could happen right away. The SOs and ACs, if they reached that threshold, which was no more than one objection, that would in fact be sufficient to suspend the board resolution. Okay? Avery, yes.
Please, I just wanted to request that the word vote be on a pink sheet instead of a green sheet.
Oh, yeah, it should have been. Because this vote was actually only one of the, truly was only one of the proposals, which is in the absence of a consensus, as their group had defined it, they could resort to a vote, which was 66%. So that is a pink sheet as well. Caboose.
Yes, you said that no more than one objections, but we wanted to avoid the word objections, saying that not more than whether it's one or two, advice against that. We are talking of advice, not to objections. We did not use that. We used advice, not more than one or two. In fact, it was two discussed, but not more than two, advice against that consensus.
And you were in a different group than the one that we were talking about with Mike.
I was in the same group, yeah.
No, he was in, Caboose was with Chris and I.
Right.
Chris and me.
Okay, so there's varying thresholds. And in the case of, I'll just call it Mike's proposal, Mike's group's proposal, that suspension would simply be final. So if the board wanted to revisit it, they would go back to step one. That would be it. That would be the end of the process under Mike's group's proposal. Under, and I guess also on...
Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
Our group didn't say the suspension is final. Our group said that it could then follow whatever...
mediation or arbitration
termination process was needed.
Okay.
Well, you could just leave us as final if you decided not to proceed.
But then the Greg's group had this other distinction, which is the ability for the board to essentially, through a higher threshold, through a 75% vote, to actually overrule that objection or suspension. And then that would be followed by another... consensus call within the community whether to keep pushing forward, and that would be a higher, what he ended up saying at lunch was that would be a higher threshold of 5 out of 7 rather than the 4 out of 7 to overrule the overruling, at which point that would then drop to the alternative dispute resolution. So to summarize, one proposal allows an individual or SOAC to launch the process in the first place, so that's one thing to get some consensus about. One proposal allows you to skip a community consensus call and go directly to whipping a consensus within the SOs and ACs to bring about a fast-track suspension of the board vote. The others require going through a process of deciding whether or not to pursue the question, a semi-formal process to decide whether to pursue the question, and then a community forum followed by a consensus call. Then there were different thresholds, and then there was the notion of whether the board could overrule the community with a higher threshold vote. Those were sort of the four questions for the group. But I don't know the best way to, whether we're trying to actually reach any kind of consensus in this room, but that's how we reduced it to those four questions. Are there any questions about the questions? Yes, sir.
Yes, I think at least we could resolve one of the questions. The first round is one SO or AC push for the suspension, and the other is going to the full process. So we should say that is it appropriate that one S or AC push for the suspension without the consultations or involvement any others? Does it mean that we capture everything by that single S or AC?
Let me clarify, Caboose. Thank you for your question. In the case of Mike's proposal, it becomes the responsibility of the petitioner to go get consensus among the SOs and ACs. So nothing could happen without consensus under any of the proposals. They all require consensus.
Is it mentioned in the diagram?
Yes. So they all require varying thresholds, but they all require consensus to suspend a board decision. The only distinction is whether or not a formal process, including a community forum, is necessary prior to a call for consensus. That's the difference. Does that make sense? It's the presence of a community forum. That's really the difference.
Community forum was a very important element and should be maintained.
And thank you for your opinion. But are there any questions about the questions? Those are the four questions. And is that then the end of the homework assignment, or do we want to try to delve into these at all?
I think I don't want to delve in now, because what we'd like to do is, as Cheryl for the record, is hope that now people have seen what happens as an output from their individual group breakout group activities, that will motivate them for this more chewy topic of reconciliation, and we will try and duplicate this process again before we bring it back in. So you've got more homework coming because you've done such a good job. We're now giving you more homework, Liz. And the rapporteurs, obviously, will get you some time to work together on that. So if there's no questions on the questions, this is now showing you what happens with the outcome from your breakout groups, even when there is some diversity in particular points of a process you've come up with. So we expect that there will be differences from the groups that are about to gather and work on a new question, which unfortunately is not currently up on the screen, but this, the reconciliation of difference of opinion between board and community views. So that topic will come up on screen when the magic happens from the back end of the room. I would encourage you now to not necessarily go back to the same group you were in this morning. I would encourage the people who were running the flip charts to go to their designated flip chart space. So if you had a pen in your hand and a microphone and you were a lead, if you were a rapporteur, gather your charts, go back to your original place from this morning. But I'd like to see the people you're working with changed around a little bit. So if you like, you could decide, aren't I being open and generous and making it all your choice? This is very unnatural for me, I've got to tell you. Very, very unnatural for me. You might want to just, you know, move in one direction. So the people who were gathered up with Sebastian this morning, come and work at the front of the room. The people who were by the coffee, go and work where Sebastian was working, or what? Sorry? No. With the people who were with Sebastian this morning shall go, if they like, to the front of the room. The people who were at the front of the room can go to where the people were at the coffee. Are we okay with that? No. Just change where they're located so you're not working with the same. Of course you can. It's now open for discussion. Okay, now, that's the good news. You've got your topic. You pretty much need to hit the ground running, because we had thought wrapping up from our pre-lunch break exercise would take about 15 minutes, and that meant that our 3 hours for this session was already cut down. But I'll point out it is now close enough to 2:15, so we have effectively removed an hour from what we had planned. Go, gather, work, and we will give you the how much more time do you need as we come towards the 2:15 mark, and we will then have the same process, excepting this time you'll all come back into the room because no one group will need more time. come back into the room, sit boards at the front, and we will do the debrief and move on. Okay. Thank you. The question I did ask to be presented up, I will call it up. It is reconciling differences between board decisions and community wishes. Reconciling differences between board decisions and community wishes. And by the way, you don't have to sit down out there where the seats were today. You can take a seat if you want, but you can stand, you can do whatever you like. But gather in those spaces and let's go. Thank you. Decisions then, dear. I'm just quoting what my co-chair gave me to work with.
Actually, their advertising jingle didn't reach you in Australia, probably.
Yeah,
hot dogs.
Something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No smoke people on the call.
Yeah. Can we help you?
I wanted to make the observation that there was a not insignificant number of people who thought it really wasn't worthy of their time to be included in the exercise today. I don't know how those people who did get up and did include themselves in the activity and did contribute to the breakout work felt about that. But if I was in one of your hard-working groups, I would be somewhat underwhelmed by those who chose, for whatever good reason, I'm sure they had, not to. However, I photographed you all. And I hold a grudge. No, that's it. It's astonishing, isn't it?
Well, I thought you were holding the microphone.
I am. We're going to go with Mike's group first, then we're going to go to the remote reporting, and then probably we'll see who wants it next. Over to you.
Thanks, Cheryl. We started off dividing board decisions into almost three areas. This is my thinking, which the groups found kind of useful, but then we didn't really use it to distinguish, but it might be useful to look at going forward. Where sometimes board decisions are corporate or governance decisions on the board, which things like audit, employing the CDO, general corporate governance stuff, risk, sustainability, those good things are pretty much ordinary board stuff that happens. We do have a policy role. Now, don't throw things at me. That policy role is really vetting the bottom-up community-developed policy, making sure that it has been through a proper community. Swallow it. So making sure that policy has been through a proper community process, it's implementable, it's rational, and we can move forward with it. So we do have a policy function over there. And then the third in the green is a kind of hybrid or shared responsibility between board and community. It's the swear word of implementation. It's things like finance, because finance splits to some extent between that. Some of it is a standard corporate governance function. We need to make sure the finances of the board are there, the organization is financially sustainable, but we also need to make sure that we're funding projects that meet the community expectations and the community needs. So it may be an interesting way of looking at some different decisions and board differences or board decisions, and there may be different thresholds. You know, the example I've given is I don't think that the community should be able to object to our employment of a CEO. You know, that's our prerogative as a board to hire a CEO. I think the community can make their requirements known or give us input, but there's some things that are board decisions and where the community has a right to give input, but they don't necessarily have a right to demand reconciliation. But as I say, we didn't have time to go into that. So the first thing that we looked at was ways to avoid disputes, as well as to better frame the argument. So there are a whole lot of things ahead of a decision, some of what we discussed with the bylaw stuff, which is defining and documenting our processes better in terms of how the board reaches the decisions, making sure that timelines are properly communicated and they're kept to, access to briefing materials, public comments, and the community taking responsibility for better communicating its wishes in terms of the problem statement that we were given, in terms of what are the community wishes, really finding a way of getting a better picture of what those are. That then leads to a decision, and when it comes to a decision, very similar to where we were with the bylaws changes, anyone can create a petition. If they get community support, and we didn't go into what constitutes community support, but our feeling was, if there's an objection, they can go through the standard IRP process as it exists today. Obviously, there are issues and there are improvements that are needed. But that would be an individual, and in particular, at the moment, we deal with a lot of reconsideration requests relating to commercial actors relating to their specific contract. The second one would be a community process. And again, possibly following a similar community consensus call as we've described under the bylaws,
which would then, instead of at the moment the CEP, it would actually provoke a dialogue with the board, not just with staff, an enhanced CEP engagement as it exists at the moment, a suspension of the board decision. Now, again, this is where the distinction between governance issues, because I can see Shireen raising his eyebrows. So I don't think that ordinary governance decisions should be subject to suspension. But I think that policy issues, or so-called policy issues, and again, it may be necessary to put more meat to these bones, but items which are policy-related could very well be suspended. Items which are purely governance-related shouldn't be capable of being suspended. And items which are those hybrid or shared areas, that is something we need to think about how it's best possible to invoke that. And then it needs to go to a review process. And again, there was a discussion about whether this is just a standard review, have we followed the process, or if this is potentially an appeal, meaning an external panel can substitute their own decision for the decision of the board. So we came up with a lot of questions, and we answered a few of them. But hopefully some of our thinking might be useful for others in terms of guiding or adding some different thoughts into their thinking.
I can find the right button. There's no hands raised in the remote at the moment. We are now open for questions. Look at that. That's very impressive.
Yeah,
so if you could give that to Steve. Steve Del Bianco is now going to come forward and report from the remote participants. And I know you are all aware of and avidly read when they are published the chat transcripts from all of the meetings you attend, but it is important to recognise that there is a very vibrant conversation going on in the AC Room chat, and their contributions to these conversations needs to be recognised and read, and if necessary, read to the record. Thank you, John. Over to you.
This is Steve Del Bianco with the CSG, and I was managing the remote conversation, and the first challenge of the remote conversation was that the regular chat, which was still reacting to the previous conversation, was stepping on top of our capabilities, but staff, ICANN staff, reacted quickly and gave us our own chat window, and we had good participation. So this was considering the decision on what to do to reconcile differences. We came up with a three-step plan that looks an awful lot like what we proposed before lunch, and it's about a precursor, a front end, before we do a community challenge in a formal way, such as a community-based IRP or reconsideration. And this reflects the fact that we felt very comfortable with a community-based reconsideration or IRP that are based on the bylaw standard. And if it was community threshold, supermajority, then ICANN pays the legal fees. If you recall, that was in the CCWG second draft proposal. But it seemed a bit abrupt to go straight into that to reconcile differences. And we said, can't we have a more accessible, easier to invoke way of surfacing emerging differences that could eventually lead to an IRP or reconsideration, but the objective is to make the differences understood and discuss them in a way that could work out a reconciliation prior to that step. We did note at the beginning that this charter about reconciling differences, the CCWG has never claimed that virtually any difference with the board has to be reconciled. We proposed very specific community powers on things like bylaws and budget. And we have review and redress mechanisms with a strict standard of review, namely the core values, mission statement, and the new bylaws. So it was never supposed to be any and all differences should be reconciled. That's never been a requirement. Differences exist. This is just life. All right, so here's our three-step process. The first is trigger. It's exactly like we said this morning, any individual in any AIC and SO can begin a petition process, an online petition process to try to get that AC or SO to call for the precursor to a community forum on difference reconciliation. And there, each AC and SO would have its own threshold. So if the CC and SO saw an emerging difference with the board, they could have a medium-sized threshold to get there. If they reached the threshold, they would invite all the rest of the community, including the board, into a call. Let's say it's a 90-minute call. I called it a pre-call before a community forum. Before the call, the CCNSO, since they're the petitioning body, would have to circulate a discussion of where this difference is, where it came from, and what their concerns are. The board has to attend that call. They have to send at least one representative to the call. And on the call, the job is to raise awareness about this emerging difference. It's possible that you can resolve it right then on step one. It's possible to resolve it on that call. If it is not reconciled on the call, then all the other ACs and SOs would have the opportunity to say, we need to move to a community forum. If two ACs and SOs decide we want to move to a community forum, well, then ICANN has to schedule a 1 or 2 day community forum, such as we discussed yesterday. And the goal at the community forum is to focus only on this difference and try to work out a mutually acceptable solution, to borrow the phrase from the GAC's operating, the GAC obligations, to work out a mutually acceptable solution. And if one cannot be found, if reconciliation is not evident at the end of that second day of the community forum, well, then that community forum has already laid all the groundwork for what the CCWG proposed earlier, which is, do we have a supermajority of ACs and SOs to move to a community-based IRP or reconsideration? And if we did, we know exactly what it's about, and we'll have done all the work necessary. So the end result of this innovation, this front end or precursor, is to create two extra opportunities to reconcile differences with mandatory participation from the board so that we don't move to the formal step of an IRP and reconciliation. The IRP and reconsideration involve, in the case of the IRP, a third-party panel, an awful lot of legal fees, an awful lot of people locking in on their positions, and this is one way to avoid all that if we can by a mandatory discussion. Any questions?
Yes, it's Cheryl for the record. You have two in the queue at the moment. Kavushal first, unless this was a delay and your question was for the previous presentation, in which case that's okay as well. But over to you.
Yes, I think it's good. I fully agree with what you said, but maybe the word is request for a community reconsideration or consideration requested by community, because what is community reconsideration? That community reconsider or board reconsider? Who reconsiders?
Thank you, Kavus. The last line on the slide refers to two review and redress procedures that CCWG proposed in our second draft and first draft. We said that the reconsideration process or an IRP, and if the community invoked the reconsideration, ICANN pays the fees. If the community invokes the IRP, ICANN pays the fees. So it's a community base as opposed to just a single aggrieved party.
Perhaps if we change reconsideration process or IRP, delete the word community.
Happy to do that, but I wanted the understanding to be that I'm referring here to the community-based reconsideration. Maybe community-based is the right word. Any other questions?
Yes, we have Alan next, and following that, Samantha.
Yeah, I was going to suggest community invoked, but I really like your idea of an early process. One minor change I would suggest, you said that if the problem is not resolved on the call, then certain things happen. The board is not likely to be able to make a formal decision on the call, especially if only one or two members. Give them a week or two to respond and then go ahead.
That's a great idea, and that response could take the form of emails, or it could take to a list, where they've established a list, or it could take the form of another phone call. That's a great idea. Great idea.
Sam, where are you? Sam? There you go.
Hi, this is Sam Eisner. Steve, I just wanted to ask you a bit about the interplay between number two and number three. So I see that at least two ACs or SOs have to indicate that they'll participate in the community forum. So I see that as the threshold for going to a community forum. And then I know that this wasn't really part of the tabletop exercise, but was there any discussion about how the requirements of thresholds to get the community forum interplay with the requirements to then invoke the community reconsideration or community IRP?
There was an attempt, Sam, to make sure that it was a lower threshold to get to a conversation, a forum, than the much, much higher threshold of actually invoking an IRP where we really start spending some money and digging into positions. So the idea was that it should be lower, and we sort of borrowed from this morning's simplicity and kept it to two, but there wasn't a lot of thought at whether it should be two or three AC and SOs. But we did set it to be a quantity of ACs and SOs because we haven't gotten to a percentage. I can't make it A over B because it's just a raw assessment of how many members of the community feel strongly enough about this that we want to have a community forum.
Thanks. That adds a lot of clarity in seeing it as the cascading, that you'd have the lower threshold to get into the conversation part, and then you could still go to the higher, more strict things.
Supermajority.
You need a higher threshold to get there.
And we've
Thank
got
you.
Kavush's hand is back up again, followed by Shireen. Kavush? Okay. Shireen, it's over to you.
Just a question on the role of the board in three, as opposed in two, you're very explicit. You say the board must send a representative. In three, you don't mention the role of the board at
we
all.
We should have.
Okay.
Because the board's got to be there. The whole point of it.
What I was thinking, a mutually acceptable solution. Yeah. Okay.
We should do that. We should do mutually acceptable solutions without you guys in the room.
I'm the only one there.
Sorry. Alan, stop joking while I have the microphone open. Everyone heard that now. Next up is Mark.
But can I follow up with,
yes.
If you don't mind? Someone mentioned that there should be, Alan mentioned the idea, which is a very good one, a time period between two and three where the board has an opportunity to meet or respond, right? If there's a lot of that happening, hopefully not. I mean, the ability to convene the board on all the time at such short notice is going to be logistically a difficult process, I suppose.
I think that's a good observation, but I don't believe that either two or three anticipates that the entire board. We talked about a representative of the board.
Yes, but if you want a response, it's a board decision to a response. So
yep.
That needs convening the board or having... You understand what I'm saying?
Right. So we didn't
some
put
logistics problem there.
That's a great point. We didn't put an amount of time this morning when we discussed it. It was at least a week at the end of item two to allow the ACs and SOs to come back and say, hey, we're in or we're not. Here we have to extend that because there may be a dialogue back and forth. So as long as there's a dialogue, I don't think you move to step three. And I don't really know what kind of time limits are necessary. If we put a hard-coded time limit in, I feel like it's going to be a bit of a shot clock. It might be better to say as long as there's constructive dialogue, the petitioners don't call for a formal community forum vote. And I realize that if the CCNSO petitioned it and there was active dialogue and the CCNSO said, no, let's move to a community forum, they may not get any support from the other ACs and SOs because they want the conversation to continue. I think that might happen.
Okay, Mark, over to you.
Yes, thank you, and Mark Harbour, UK government rep on the GEC. And thank you, Steve, for recounting this very clearly. It's a very impressive sequencing of steps and provides, I think, real windows for some bridging of the differences, certainly communication, and I think that pre-call approach is a very good idea. I did wonder about this window between two and three, between pre-call and community forum, what might happen in that period. I think it's useful to consider that because a community forum, if it's convened face-to-face, if that is the vision for this, it's going to be quite an expensive enterprise. It could be fitted into the ICANN meeting agenda, I suppose, a program of meetings and public meetings and so on. So it's what might happen, you know, and we've just touched on that in the points that Shireen was making. So that was what I was wanting to sort of to clarify. But as I say, I do like this approach very much, and it's one that could do a lot to head off a very difficult confrontation and costly exercise, and I think that's our shared objective here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. As Shireen had indicated, I think you're agreeing that as long as there is progress towards reconciliation, should not move to step three.
Okay, two more. Oh, no, here. Sam put a hand down. I shouldn't see you there.
Thank you, Cheryl. Asha Hemrajani for the record. I have two questions for you, Steve. The first one is about the, I couldn't hear clearly or may have missed what you, how you answered Sam's question. What was the threshold, a number of, did you have a number of SOs and ACs that may, that have to agree before we start the IRP? Or
yeah, great question. That threshold is a supermajority in the current CCWG proposal.
Okay.
We weren't proposing to change that at all.
You want to stick with that?
That's right. And
okay.
That's step four. It's not even on here.
Okay.
Right? Because the actual, whether to request a community consideration, that request then has to meet the supermajority threshold. Jordan, you're right here. Is it three-quarters of ACs and SOs to launch a community reconsideration or a community IRP? Three-quarters are participating. It's whatever we have in the book, and it's a very high threshold.
Three-quarters are participating. So
ACs
that
and
means
SOs.
What, five out of seven? Okay. And the second question is about the community reconsideration or IRP. Have you considered mediation? Or you're saying that...
We didn't in this discussion.
Okay.
Redesign the ultimate reconciliation process. We built a front end, a precursor,
okay,
to what the CCWG has already laid out, which includes an IRP, right? So we just built a front end to that to try to find ways to reconcile without having to go the extra step. So we didn't consider mediation or anything at step four.
Apologies,
Becky,
for breaking
go ahead.
In. I'm sorry, but mediation is part of the IRP proposal.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to confirm. Yeah.
Great.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you, Steve.
Becky, is there anything else you want to do to clarify misstatements or omissions in my descriptions?
No, I didn't hear any.
Oh, with the Becky seal of approval, that's good. We've got Kavush, Alan, and I'm posing the queue after Alan. Kavush, over to you.
I have one comment complementing what Mark said. I think perhaps with respect to this community, 1 or 2 day community forum, perhaps it should be preceded by a sort of community calls, because it'd be expensive in any way for any travel. First, you have to start a virtual meeting before going to the physical meeting. For many people, it may not be possible to attend, and I can meetings with the 3 months or 4 months, maybe too late. So perhaps we should add preceded by a virtual call, if not possible to resolve, then you go to the physical. Second, you refer 2 times to the supermajority. Are you still thinking of voting approach or some other things? I am not in favor of voting. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. We didn't tackle the question of how the community invokes an IRP. We relied upon the current second draft of the CCWG, which does involve, in the current draft, voting to see if we reach a supermajority that wants to launch it. So we didn't get to that question. We were willing to sort of inherit that already. And Cavus, to your point about a pre-call, we probably should have come up with this idea yesterday morning when Jordan was going through the community forum, right? Because the community forum itself would benefit from a pre-call like this.
Excellent. Alan, and then that's it first, and we'll move on to the next one.
Thank you. I actually thought the community call was the pre-call, so we said it would probably be invoked with a teleconference, so who knows. I'm just responding to something that Shireen said about how often this is going to happen and the load on the board or the things like that, and I'm wondering, I'm just rethinking whether one ACSO is enough to trigger this process, or we want to say something like preferably two, but one is enough. Something to try to constrain it so we don't have frivolous requests.
That's a great point, but there is a threshold of two to get to step three, the community forum, and that's where the board has to be engaged, probably more than one board member for a day or two. The threshold of one, which is the threshold to get to the pre-call, number two, the threshold there, it might be okay to be low because it's really just asking Shireen as representative of the board to get on a 90-minute phone call. Not that high of a threshold.
Steve, this process comes after the process outlined in the previous discussion, right?
I don't know if I follow that.
the process, before this process begins, you've already gone through the process outlined in the previous brainstorming session.
Not at all. The previous brainstorming session was about a bylaws change. That's what it was about. And we borrowed the petition and trigger thing.
Then.
So that was, this is a completely new breakout session that in general says, how do we handle reconciling differences? And what we came up with is a precursor for the IRP, setting aside this morning's discussion of how do we challenge a bylaw. We just borrowed from a lot of that simplicity. It's by no means, this, the way this begins is that an AC or SO member, as it says in number one, says, I see a real difference coming. I see a real difference. They're about to do an implementation of a PDP, and the implementation is so far removed from what the community had up with. We need to reconcile that difference. So that GNSO, CCNSO might start a petition to ask for the pre-call. They get the pre-call, and the pre-call doesn't reconcile it, then we have a
We just interpreted the exercise differently than that, that's all.
How many of the
there
rest of you were as confused?
There was already a community consensus to oppose
Chris was
a board resolution.
Too? Yeah, okay, so there was not. There was absolutely not a precursor to this. This begins as it shows on the paper. And, Chris, I had confused you as well.
Right. Yeah, sorry, John. No problem. So when we get to our presentation, you'll see that it was based on a follow-on from what we did. But if this is the case, if that's the case, and then I now understand what you're saying, then I have a question for you, because it seems to me that this process that you're looking at, I thought the process was not like an individual member of the community wants to go to IRP, you know, because they've been denied something. This is a community-based process.
Yes.
In order for this to happen, doesn't the thing that's being used for have to be a breach of bylaws?
No, it doesn't have to. The standard to succeed.
That's not true. I mean, there's no proposal that says we can disagree. I mean, at least if we're talking about going to an IRP, it has to fit into the category.
That was my understanding.
And that is. And yet, on our discussion on the call, there was some consideration as to whether this must meet the standard of an IRP-level problem, or is it just an appropriate way to discuss other differences. And we had some folks from the numbers and protocol community on our remote participation who expressed some interest in perhaps it being an option.
This
will
be
other
completely
differences.
New. This is completely new, though, isn't it, on that basis?
If it didn't have to meet the IRP standard, it would be new.
Yeah.
If it has to fit within the IRP standard, then it's just a precursor or front end to the IRP.
Agree. The reason I said it is because of the example you used, which is where there's an implementation coming along, blah, 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 which is a different thing entirely.
But an implementation issue is, in fact,
don't get me wrong.
I love the example, because if I were to challenge an implementation decision that differed from the bottom-up policy development, I go straight to the core value on bottom-up policy development, and I have an IRP challenge.
No, what you're doing there is you're saying the board's in breach of its core value. I know this may sound like semantics, but there's a difference between saying I'm challenging an implementation thing and saying I believe the board's acting outside of its core value. The reason you believe that may be because of an implementation thing, but you can't couch it in those terms, because otherwise it becomes confusing.
Great point. I should never have suggested that a mere difference over implementation is sufficient to meet this. It isn't. It would be a bylaws challenge based on implementation that's done without any underlying bottom-up consensus support.
Final from Alan.
Yeah, just for the record, I may have missed your first words. I read precursor to community challenge, not precursor to IRP.
Okay.
So, and I like this as a precursor to any of the possible challenges.
Right. We have some other specific challenges, like bylaws challenge. The one we described in this morning was the idea of challenging a bylaw, so we already have that one. Maybe this is the one for IRP. There might be a slightly different one for a budget challenge, right? Maybe we design something like that for the budget.
The point I was making is I like the informality of the lead into this for any of the challenges.
Okay.
Let's talk before we decide if we have to put on our boxing gloves.
Okay.
Radical concept. I'm not sure that'll ever work. Thank you very much, Steve, and huge thank you to the remote participants. That working in a breakout group remotely is in itself an extraordinary challenge. So kudos to all of you, and I'll send you a virtual group hug. Well done indeed. I believe, Mr. Despain, you are up. It's the team. It's the team, Mr. Shatton and Mr. Despain.
Hello? Hello?
Thank you. So we did. We actually did a different thing entirely. We said we've got to here, and the community's gone through all of this process, and it's decided that it should block a bylaw, and the board says no, not doing that. We're not blocking it. So we basically. Go ahead.
Right. So we took at that point we had in our group decided that the board could have a 75% override of the board of the community's blocking, so that we would. At this point, the board would.
Greg, could you stand back just a little bit,
sure,
so those on the right side of the room can see?
So at this point, we said that the board would notify the community of its intention to proceed with a vote that had 75% to override the community.
There was some discussion about whether the board could actually pass a resolution subject to this process or whether they had to notify, but that's a detail. We said the board would have to provide a detailed rationale for the reason why it was saying it wasn't going to, obviously, you know, we just don't like it, it's not going to work.
An additional rationale for why it decided to override the community.
Correct. And we said that the bylaw change wouldn't then happen for X weeks, and X is obviously a matter for discussion. And then we said during X weeks, there'd be a discussion with the board and the community. So in effect, that may well be a community forum with the board. I mean, it's all the stuff you were talking about, Steve, where you get the board together. It can be on a phone call. Doesn't have to be a meeting. And
well, I think then after that, within that X week period, 4 out of 7 of the ACSOs, doesn't necessarily have to be the same 4 out of 7 that we proposed blocked it in the first place, but 4 out of 7 would notify ICANN that we required mediation. That assumes that the conversation with the board and the community forum didn't end up with a decision that the community was going to stop at this point and let the bylaw.
And the key here is that there's no escalation in the 4-7 was our choice from our previous discussion, so that's obviously a matter for discussion. But the key here is there's no change in the numbers required because this is a kick to mediation. So we think that should be the same level because it's the parties who have said we want you to not do this who be the ones who have the right to say we want you to go to mediation. Then there's mediation and obviously sensible timelines and there needs to be an end date. One of the issues with the CEP is there doesn't seem to be any kind of end date, so there needs to be an end date to it.
And the community would appoint representatives of the 4 ACSOs, the 4 or more ACSOs that were joining in this second petition.
And then you end up with a situation where if you don't have a settlement at mediation, you slip down to the next level. Now, we didn't get to a discussion about whether you'd lift your threshold to trigger a binding arbitration, but you might well do that. And the arbitration, in either model, the arbitration would be binding, and then if the community wins, obviously, it would be enforceable in court. Now, we did have a discussion about what the basis of arbitration would be, in the sense of, what's the standard going to be for something like this? Is the standard going to be that you breached the fundamental bylaw? And then we got into a really interesting discussion about things like, well, could the board say, we don't believe that this. We believe that this bylaw is in the global public interest, and is there an obligation on the community to allow the board to act in the global public? And in other words, should there be a final arbiter? I'm not saying there should be. I'm just asking the question: should there be a final arbiter that says yes, it is in the global public interest, or it isn't? The easy one is it's a breach of a fundamental bylaw, yes or no, but. But there are more complicated things to be talked about down at this level.
Right.
That's it.
Any questions? Jonathan. Steve Del Bianco, followed by... Okay, Jonathan first, pick up.
Stephen Caboose.
Yes?
Jonathan.
Oh, okay. You're
first.
But what you just said, I mean, I know that there's a lot of question about this, about ever going to an outside, including your very first comment.
Yes.
This process about going to an outsider to determine a substantive issue about whether or not something's in the global public interest.
Agreed.
So you're surfacing that as a possibility under this scenario, though.
What I'm saying is the following. If there's going to be an independent finding on anything, an arbitration in any model, and it needs to be clear what it is that you're. What it is you're looking at. I'm not suggesting that you should have someone else decide that something's in the global public interest. I'm just saying that's in the mix of things that you could look at. I wouldn't like it because I think it's useful for any of us, but it's there and it's something which we need to at least address. Because otherwise, the question becomes: What would you go to on this? What would be? Let's just ask that question. We've gone through this process. There's a fundamental bylaw that says the board must a bylaw that the community has the right to block a bylaw change, subject to a process. So at the end of the day, it's simply a case of going to a binding arbitrator to say, here is the proof that we did the process. And now please say that the board must block the bylaw. That's fantastic. I'm absolutely fine with that. And I think that's basically what it should be.
I think the discussion didn't really get to a question of whether this is a process or merits-based discussion decision.
No,
I would say it should be merits.
Well, merits, but the problem with... Hey, this is great. The problem merits is that then you have to decide what your standard is. You don't want merits in there. You want, if I understand it correctly, you want the ability to say we just don't like it. And if you just don't like it, then we have to acknowledge that you just don't like it. And the only defense, if you will, that we have is to say you haven't followed the process. And we could say you haven't followed the process because only three SOs and ACs said yes. And you said four, but it was only three.
I see. You're talking about our process, not your process.
Yes. I'm talking about your process.
Oh, then I agree
with
you.
Not our process. Well, of course you do. Does that make sense, Jonathan?
No, that makes perfect sense. I thought you were opening a can of worms.
No.
That no one has ever tried to actually open. So.
I was merely explaining the discussion that we had, so I apologize.
Well, don't have those discussions anymore.
I shall immediately cease to have them, and I apologize for traumatizing you and the rest of the people.
We never had this discussion.
Yes. Consider this to be a smoky room.
Strike the record. Okay. Steve?
I wasn't even in Los Angeles that day. I wanted to point out that a challenge based on the standard of review of the bylaws, and I hope Becky's listening and can help on this, one of the key elements of our proposal was that often there are multiple core values.
Yes.
That contribute to a decision for the board to make this bylaws change.
Yes.
Or for the board to have a difference with the community. And when there are multiple bylaws at play, we needed to specify a balancing test so that the arbitrators could figure out, the expert panel can figure out which bylaw wins. And the text that we proposed in our second draft is, quote, in any situation where one core value must be reconciled with another, potentially competing core value, the balancing that's done must further an important public interest goal within ICANN's mission that is identified through the bottom-up multi-stakeholder process. So the implication of that is that in a balancing, that means that one of the core values is going to take a hit. It's going to suffer. We're going to diminish our adherence to one core value in favor of another. And this simply says is that it has to be justified by saying that it furthers an important public interest goal that's within ICANN's mission and that was identified through the bottom-up multi-stakeholder process. And it may or may not be right on point to what you're doing, but I'm just trying to indicate that there are often conflicting parts of the bylaws, and we have to have a means to balance them against each other.
But that may, yes, that's right. But if that's the case in circumstances heading down this road, doesn't that mean that you, the community, would have to provide an explanation of why you believe we shouldn't pass that bylaw and point to the core values, and isn't that then testable? And that's not a good idea. That's a bad idea, because that means that you've got an independent party making a precedential decision that says X is better than Y. And I don't, it seems to me, if we the board are prepared to agree that the community has the ultimate say about whether a bylaw should be passed or not, it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, as long as you build your thresholds high enough, I mean, it's a slippery slope and the thin end of the wedge, which is a very unpleasant place to be, to go down that road. So for me, I'd much rather be saying we followed a process. The process is the process. And the only reason for putting in the 75%, and we can take this out because it's not necessary, but it was there because we thought it was important that you, the community, understood that despite your four of the SOs and ACs saying yes, the board really, really, really felt that this was important. And then there's another process underneath it to actually mediate and so on. So, but I really don't see...
I could follow up, under the example of a bylaws blocking, a bylaws challenge, there's probably no other bylaw or core value that would be balanced against that. So in your example, not going to happen. But in other examples where there's differences between the board and the community, there may well be a balancing of two core values, one on security, stability, and resiliency, and one against a limited mission statement or the prohibition against regulating content. Whenever these core values clash, we have to bake in a balancing test that can be used. It may not have ever come into play with a challenge based on a bylaws blocking, but on other challenges, other differences, it may.
So, sorry, Greg. My response to that is simply this. I'm talking of very specific circumstances of what leads to an IRP. And what I'm not talking about an individual's IRP. You can claim whatever you like. That's fine. I'm talking about a community-based IRP. And you seem to be suggesting that a community-based IRP could happen around a comparison between the core values of ICANN and having an independent arbitrator and ultimately a court in California make a finding that something was within the core values or the core mission, and that's binding and precedential. And that's, for me, very problematic.
That's what's problematic, because that's not what I meant.
Okay, cool.
I simply said that when an IRP is making a decision, and the decision involves balancing one core value against another, that it's incumbent on us to give them a balancing test.
And I'm saying that arbitration shouldn't be making a decision that's placing one core value against another.
It's inevitable. It's going to happen.
I think this comes down to the question, again, of kind of who has the last word. And if the community has the last word, then the board can't say, well, we have to do this because we have our core values demanded of us.
So I need to take a step back for a second. Is it all right to carry this on? Okay. So let's think about what we're talking about. We're talking about community-based IRP, which, if I understood it correctly, and Becky, I think you said it just now, is all based around breaching fundamental bylaws. Bylaws. Yes, agreed. So where there is a process in place. Sorry, the board says we will not make bylaw changes if the community votes to block them. Yes? Okay. Give me an example of where you think you would end up in an arbitration or an IRP as a community where you would be asking the arbitrators to make the value judgment that you've talked about.
So the community majority said don't implement that bylaw, and the board listened, and now an aggrieved party says that we need that bylaw and ICANN needs the bylaw to fulfill its requirement of protecting security, stability, and resiliency? And could they launch an IRP that faces off a core value about SSR against a bylaw requirement that the community can block a bylaw?
That wouldn't be a community IRP, though, would it?
No, the new one
would be a private IRP.
Might be a private one. But either way, this balancing test applies to community or individual.
Can you give me an example of, in your current report, your current proposal, where you could end up with a community IRP that would require the arbitrator to make a value judgment such as the one you've described?
Stress test 29 and 30, which I didn't write. They came from New America Foundation, anticipated an IRP challenge of ICANN enforcing some part of the RAA, and inevitably that comes down to balancing of the will not regulate content against other obligations to secure the space and manage the contracts. So there are, that's an example of one where there might be multiple bylaws, multiple core values that contribute on the one hand in favor of what ICANN's doing and on the other hand against it. It's inevitable that certain actions or inactions of the corporation will fulfill one core value at a slight expense of another.
Okay, I know we're out of time, Cheryl, so I apologize. Just one comment. So I want to be clear. I had not understood that community-based IRPs, as opposed to individual ones, community-based IRPs could occur in that circumstance. My understanding was that community-based IRPs were regarding ICANN and, in effect, the board failing to do something that the community has the right to ask it to do. That was for community. I'm not talking about what individuals want. That's my understanding for community.
Yes, you're not released yet because we do have a final question.
I apologize, sorry. But
perhaps
thanks.
We need some offline discussion with the
CEO. I apologize.
We cannot go too much in detail because of the little time that we have. We have many, many important issues. You refer to the mediation. Who are the party of mediation now? Who is the mediator? Thank you.
Sure. I think in this case, the parties to the mediation would be on the one side, the board or representative members of the board, and on the other side would be representative members of the ACSOs that were supporting the petition. The mediator would be chosen presumably from a panel of approved and trained mediators who had were not just general commercial mediators but had the same sort of qualifications we've talked about for the panel of arbitrators.
All right, Mark, sneaking in as the gate is closing. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, thank you for indulging me on. Would you, in that situation, see a role for the ACs or SOs who had not supported the objection to the board bylaw proposal? Are they completely off out of the picture?
We did discuss that, and we decided that would muddy the waters, so we thought it was appropriate that they did not have a role and the petition should be taken forward by those who were mounting the petition.
They could join,
but they would have to kind of join in support as opposed to joining for purposes of undercutting the petition.
But if there was an issue of public interest and the GAC, for example, had not supported the objection, perhaps they were sort of sympathetic to a board argument that what the board wanted to do was in the interests of the public interest. Would you see a specific recourse GAC, for example, in that situation to inform that arbitration or mediation process? I've forgotten
once it's gone.
Okay,
right?
Well,
we didn't contemplate that one way or the other.
They want to do that. Thank you.
Yes.
I guess the GAC could give advice, and the GNSO, if they were left out, could also give recommendations or just shout at the top of their lungs as well.
And thank you, team. That was excellent. Sebastian, if you'd like to come forward. And I don't know whether you want to put your papers up on one of those things so it's easy for you to work with. Hopefully they've left you a microphone down there. Excellent. Over to you.
Thank you. As we have no time, I will be very quick. And you already have discussed that at length. But one of the ideas is if the board is one of the components of the community, then if we want to be on equal footing, then we are eight structure in the organization. Then the community, what it is, SOACs, it's 5, 7, 8 organization. It's different to advice. If there is difference on the advice to the board decide what is the role of the community in that situation today. If the community came to consensus, the board need to stop the process, and we need to open dialogue. What is the dialogue today? If we take the example of the board, you know how it happens. There are different stages, and I will not read it because you know already. And the community need to be treated like the GAC in the different steps. The other discussion we had was the board and the community discussion could be an endless loop, and we need to have dialogue each time it's possible. Because we can't stay in a loop, we need to have at the end an action. And the question of which type of dialogue we can have and how it could happen, then of course we need to have dialogue by phone, conference call, video conference, whatever. But if we need to have a face-to-face meeting, dialogue, it will need to be during a face-to-face meeting. We will not add new meetings at the current situation. And we say that maybe board and community will need a facilitator in the dialogue. Then somebody say maybe we need to have a list of the possible facilitator. And we came, and that needs to be done before any other type of action, arbitration, IRP, and so on. And there are two documents, but now I have a third one, which could be interesting to look. It's within the VeriSign contract, there is elements to the name, it's cooperative engagement, how the dialogue can be open between ICANN and VeriSign. there is also interesting part in the bylaw of the, I guess it's a bylaw of the CNSO, where the process to dialogue with the board. I already talked about the process with the GAC. And if we look to the new GTLD agreement, there is a mediation possible or encouraged before any arbitration. Then maybe those steps could be useful in dialogue between the community and the board prior to any substantial action like arbitration. Thank you.
Questions? The floor's open. Jonathan.
Yes. Addition.
Yeah, this might be an addition rather than a question. Just to level set, we too thought that this process began where the other one left off. So it presupposed that the process of building consensus, reaching the threshold to have a community objection had all happened, and the board had decided to go forward anyway. And so that's where we began our discussion. And so at that point, it begins with a call for a discourse at the next meeting, an open forum, followed by mediation, and then followed by some form of arbitration or litigation afterwards. So that's where we were sort of picking the process up, was that the community had already achieved consensus of disagreeing with the process that had been put in place by the board, the resolution that was voted on by the board. It wasn't specific to a bylaw, but that instead that the same process had been gone through to reach consensus initially.
Thank you, Jonathan. Yes, it's we tried to discuss how we implement the dialogue, and it was important. Any other question?
No.
It's time for doing something.
Thank you very much, and thanks to
thank
all
you.
The group. Now, we've not taken as long in some of these conversations as we did in this morning, and that's all right. Maybe you had more questions that didn't come out now because of the two different ways that the groups looked at it, one presupposing that we're building on this morning's exercise and one taking it afresh. But that doesn't matter. What does matter is it would be very nice if we could give the rapporteurs from these groups a short amount of time with Jonathan to look at an analysis as they did at lunchtime today, right? So as we don't want to let any good deeds go unpunished, and you've all worked very hard as leaders, we're going to make sure you don't get to have coffee and cake. I'm going to suggest that if you can gather together and see what you can do in a few minutes while the rest of us get up, stretch our legs, take the opportunity for some coffee and cake, and at the top of the hour, not much later than 5 minutes past the hour, we'll see what we can have very briefly teased out. All right? You can hate me later. Okay. Thank you. So if the rapporteurs could gather around Jonathan, around the front, and the rest of us can stretch our legs, grab a coffee, and then we'll reconvene. And they may have to do some of this live, but just sort of get yourselves lined up, and we'll see how we can go. Thank you.